RPG lessons learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned.
Hi, welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. I'm Dusty, and with me as usual is Tanner. Hi, Tanner.
Hey, Dusty. It's great to be here again. We're talking about a new game for us.
Mutants and Masterminds, finally breaking into that sweet, sweet superhero genre.
Yeah, new to us. I guess the superhero genre is pretty well-traveled territory for RPGs by this point.
Well, for that matter, so is Mutants and Masterminds. We actually played the third edition. This game has been around for three whole editions, and I think third edition has been out since the 2010s, somewhere in there. Forgive me, online people who know M&M better than me, but my point is, it is not a young game.
No, and it definitely feels mature in some good and bad ways, as we found out.
So we played the Quick Start, and there are actually several published Quick Starts to Mutants and Masterminds. Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition was also published as DC Heroes. So there was a whole series of DC books. I've actually got them all on my shelf. And there were two Quick Starts released for DC Heroes, one with Superboy fighting, from memory, Big Bertha, and another with Batman fighting Bane. But we played the vanilla Mutants and Masterminds 3rd Edition Quick Start, which is the hero, the Rook, versus the villain, Pack Rat.
It was kind of an interesting setup. The Rook is very much set up to be kind of a generic great value brand Batman. You know, he's the Batman you get at Target with no branding. But yeah, it was interesting. The setting, I was surprised by what, because you sent over a bunch of heroes and stuff for me to look at, and like browsing the setting, I felt a little surprised that this setting is so derivative of stuff like DC, but it's also just like very well realized. I think like there's a big enough cast of characters in it that it kind of feels real.
I don't think too many people play Mutants and Masterminds and just rub off the serial numbers and play Batman and Superman. I think people who do that play DC Heroes. I think people actually play in the Mutants and Masterminds universe, which to your point is very well realized, like Emerald City.
Yeah, and it's better than trying to like play this and be a GM who's like, okay, if I wanted to play this like in the Marvel universe, like what earth is this on? Where does this fit? Like that would give me a headache, you know, as a GM. It's nice that it is its own. But dear listener, if you have played this, let us know. I don't know how people play this, if it's mostly original characters in an original setting, or if you do like DC or Marvel setting. I'd be interested to know what the breakdown is there.
That's a really good point. So would I. Like D&D is predicated on building your own character. No one wants to, well, maybe not no one, but I don't imagine too many people want to play Drizzt Do'Urden.
Right, but most people, I would say, do published adventures, which take place in like the Forgotten Realms. Like what's the breakdown between playing the Forgotten Realms versus a homebrew setting?
Ooh, you know, that's a good
or point. Eberron or whatever published setting. Yeah.
So this game, this quick start, I thought it would take a couple hours. It took like an hour or less. Like it was over so fast.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
So this won't be a long episode. Before we even get into the show notes, I'm going to say I brought up Mutants and Masterminds to Tanner as like something I was thinking about running. And Tanner, my recollection was you were like, yes, let's do that. I have a friend who plays.
Yeah, yeah.
So totally new system for me. And I thought, you know what? There's a quick start. Let me just start the quick start. Let me look at nothing but the quick start. So I looked at the quick start, and the rules are pretty interesting. That's one of those systems where, that frankly, I don't like, that I am, I don't want to say prejudiced against, because prejudice is such a loaded word. I'm biased. That's the perfect word. I'm biased against systems where I roll to hit and then you roll to see if you got hit. Like that just irritates me.
And that's my number one. I'm kind of a Savage Worlds hater. And that is a thing that happened in that game all the time, where to hit a player character in Savage Worlds, you had to roll to hit them. They had to roll to not soak the damage. And then they have a resource that can just ignore that damage anyway if they want. It's like, for a fast slugfest kind of game, which is what that game is advertised as, Yeah, it's weird. And this game isn't that bad, I don't think. Like, there is, you're right, it is two rolls to hit, like a roll to hit and then a roll to be hit for everything. But I don't love it from a fundamental design, but it bothered me less here. Does that make sense?
It does. And actually, I should say, we're starting out on a negative because we like to do the positives and the negatives. We had fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
It felt really comic book. The damage system, I think, is genius because you never know exactly when the fight's going to end. And it feels like the fight ends in a couple of good hits, though it can take a few rounds to get this couple of good hits. So it feels like the number of panels a fight would take in a comic book is about the number of turns it takes. So we really enjoyed this, and we're starting on this negative, which is just, I had to make this cheat sheet for the rules. And yeah. I'm going to flip over and look at the cheat sheet just to give an example, right? So, okay, to attack, we have to set a difficulty class, which difficulty class for an attack, like if my NPC is attacking Tanner's PC, it's not just his defense on the character sheet. It's for some reason that I have yet to figure out, his defense on his character sheet plus 10.
Plus 15, isn't it?
No, plus 10. Oh, okay. Damage resistance is plus 15. Okay. I'm going to get to that. See, this is case in point. So if it's plus 10 every single time, why is it not just plus 10 on the character sheet? Why is parry 4 when we roll against 14? Why is parry not simply 14? And someone smarter than me who knows mutants and masters better than me, please tell me, because I have played two sessions now, still haven't figured it out. So number one, we take a number on the character sheet and we add another number to it. And now we have the difficulty class. Then the player rolls. And that's ignoring advantage and disadvantage. So we'll ignore that. The player rolls.
D20.
Always a D20. I do like that about the system. I love that you only roll a D20. You don't roll damage. I think that's awesome.
If I were to play this at a real table, I'd get like a D20 the size like a softball and just have that just at my...
Oh, absolutely. So you roll the D20. And then you hit or miss because you add your ranks and then you hit or miss. And then once you hit once I hit you, you then get to make a damage resistance check, which is a whole other series of rolls. And that's the difficulty class is the damage rank of the attack that hit you plus 15.
Not 10, 15 this time.
15 this time for some reason. And then you add your toughness and you roll your D20 against that to see if you actually do get hit. And then the delta between the DC of the damage roll, the damage rank plus 15, the delta between that and your roll determines how damaged you were. And this is one of those degrees of failure, and enough degrees of failure and you're incapacitated. And by the way, you do pick up bruises for even one degree of failure, for even the first degree of failure. And the bruise gives you a minus 1 to your toughness. So you are going to get worse and worse at this role. And eventually you are going to fail by 4 degrees and be incapacitated. So,
and this is the only part of the game where plus 1s and minus 1s happen that I've encountered too, which is kind of weird.
That is true. Cause everything else is like
5, 10 or 15. Yeah.
Or 2 and 5. Disadvantage is plus or minus 2. Advantage, disadvantage is plus or minus 2. And then major advantage and disadvantage is plus or minus 5. But you're right. These are the only plus or minus 1s.
Okay, so taking a step back and zooming out, are we complainers? Because in 6th grade and 8th grade in high school, I would have played a system like this all day. Like, what's changed? You know what I mean?
Just the number of steps. I think because of the job I work in a corporate setting, my tolerance for procedure is just a lot lower than it was,
which is funny because this whole podcast is about a procedure of improving yourself.
Is a methodology different than a procedure? I don't know.
I'm sure a really boring guy has an answer to that question.
But my point is, we had a lot of fun, and once we wrapped our mind around the 10 and the 15, although arguably we still haven't, we had a ton of fun, but I had to make this whole cheat sheet for like how to do an action, how to do a resistance, how to do an attack, how to do damage resistance. And I thought this cheat sheet, like, it really helped me. And I put it on the internet. I put it on Reddit, and someone like immediately responded with, "This is so elementary. I didn't think any players would even need this."
Oh, like, come off it. Yeah, it was mandatory for me. No, one step above helpful into the term mandatory. Yeah, this game reminds me a lot. Did you ever play Star Wars Saga Edition role-playing game?
Negative. I have never played any Star Wars role-playing game. I own a copy of D6. West End Games, the reprint that they did not long ago of the original first edition D6. Never played it, though.
Interesting. Maybe we should put that on the queue someday. But in Star Wars Saga Edition, it came out at a weird time because it was the old Star Wars was all D20, like based on third edition D&D. And this came out at the end of that, and it was a bunch of prototype testing ground for what ended up in fourth edition D&D. And so it's this really kind of interesting role-playing game. The books are square too. It's very bizarre. They're like, you know, like a full-size book, but like the top chopped off. But it has a lot of these same ideas as Mutants and Masterminds, a lot of like defenses separating that out. And like, it's taking like another sidestep from what D&D was. This Mutants and Masterminds feels like it goes even a step farther from Saga Edition. And I had fun with Saga Edition Star Wars, but like, I think there's a lot of similar DNA there. It just reminded me a lot of playing that.
That's fair. But to your point, I think we kind of are complainers. Like we usually hit the negatives first. I think it's okay. Hopefully the listeners like that content. Hopefully they're not coming off as too negative. I don't want to be a depressing podcast. There were a lot of positives here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love that we only rolled a D20.
Yep.
Love the bruised damage, degrees of failure damage system. Love how unpredictable it makes fights, I think in a good way that feels very comic booky.
It feels like anything could happen, but not in a really frustrating way. I think because one thing that I do like that it adds a level of predictability is that heroes and minions are on kind of two different tiers of power. And I, as a hero, can take 10 on an attack to kill a minion. And like that adds a very much needed layer of kind of reliability of power that I feel like otherwise would definitely be missing from a superhero thing. You know, it takes the swinginess out of it by just saying, yeah, a minion, you don't have to roll a D20. You can just take 10 if you want to. And I think that's a cool way to kind of meter out that unpredictability. You know what I mean?
I miss minions from 4E.
Me too. I put them in 5E when I played 5E, and I tell the players, these guys all have 1 HP, by the way, and they do a flat number of damage. And it's awesome. Players love fireballing like 12 dudes at the same time. It's a win for everybody.
There's a lot to be said for it.
Yep.
We had some hugely fun moments. I'm going to rapid fire some of these moments at you that I jotted down right after the session. The moment when you did a one-handed cartwheel and threw like your rook claw darts mid cartwheel, kind of Neo style.
Yeah, that was fun.
You describing some of your one hit takedowns on the minions. So you took 10 and I made you describe, like, tell me what I see in this comic book panel.
Mm-hmm. I've not read the GM advice or anything for this. I've purely been a player. Does the game offer any meaningful ways to lean into that comic book feel, or is that you, Dusty, as an experienced GM saying, what does this look like? Describe this in comic panels.
I think that's me, Dusty. I have at this point read through the basic player's guide, the basic hero's guide, and I have read the deluxe heroes to some extent, and I've read a lot of the GM stuff, especially in counter building and some of the GM advice. And it doesn't talk about like describe the panel, describe the art, describe the bubble, the thought bubble, whatever. That's just been me growing up with comic books.
Mm-hmm. I think the game is the best parts of our game sessions were that, and I don't want to give Mutants and Masterminds credit for that. I want to give you, Dusty, credit for that. That being said, if that is buried somewhere in some really good GM advice, let us know, listeners or Dusty, if you end up reading something and you're like, oh yeah, this does actually have a pretty robust set of guides. But it seems like, you know, like people can have a great time with games that get in their way sometimes, you know. And like, I think it's important if you're going to try to be objective about it, to say, was this the game making this part awesome, or was this us, the group, making this part awesome?
The reason I think this one was me is there's another superhero game, and I forget the name of it. Oh, Icons. I never played Icons, but I've read the book several times. And in Icons, I think it's Icons, user or dear listener. It could be like Max or something, but I think it's Icons, where a round is called a page.
Oh,
and every player's turn is called a panel.
That's kind of fun.
I thought that was the coolest thing when I read Icons, and yeah. I think that's where I got it. But gotcha. I have to give Mutants and Masterminds a lot of love. The system as it's played, as you're running it, feels comic booky, and for it to not mention panels or pages in the text that I recall, certainly not in the quick start, and for the rules to still come out feeling like a comic, much love to Green Ronin for Mutants and Masterminds.
I'm sorry if I'm coming across too negative. I do think it's a very comprehensively well glued together game. Like, this isn't a game I look at and be like, this game's busted as hell. Like, no, it's complex, but it knows what it's doing. You know what I mean? And I think that letting go and trusting the procedure is kind of hard sometimes, you know, and just being like, okay, you know what? The game says to add 15. I don't know why it's 15, but we're going to go with it. And you know what? It works. Like, it turns out the designers know the game pretty well, but yeah, just make sure that, I think if you weren't adding any of that pizzazz, I think this would have been a very different session.
Fair. But man, we had some awesome moments like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the quick start. Like, the fight ended. You were the rook. You went into this warehouse. There were some henchmen holding some scientists. Turns out some of the scientists were also henchmen. You took down the henchmen. Pack Rat shot at you from the rafters. You had this run and gun battle with Pack Rat. It was pretty close when Pack Rat had his gun, and once you took it away, it wasn't close anymore. And we had a fun session, and when it was over, I was like, Tanner, I'm sorry, we're out of content. You've reached the end of the quick start.
Yeah.
Much to my surprise.
I think quick start might have a different connotation than I would expect it. I expected a quick start to be like a full session. This was an encounter, or like a two-part encounter. But yeah, no, it was a good time. And spoiler alert, we went on to play more Mutants and Masterminds, so we both liked it. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I'm glad we started with this before I decided like what kind of character I wanted to play for like a mini campaign and all that stuff.
What lessons did we learn? The one part of the show notes that we didn't fill out. So this will be off the cuff.
Lesson number one, I would say, you know what? You got to sprinkle your own experience onto the game. You know, I think there could be a proclivity, if you're learning a new system, a new genre to everybody, that you really get your nose in the book and kind of play it by the numbers. But you also have to step back and realize, as you did, Dusty, you're running a session. You're trying to entertain. You know, we have to keep this floaty and fun and dynamic, and the rules do help with that. But at the same time, you know, there is the sort of X factor of the, I made an X factor joke. I didn't think of that, of the player and the GM to kind of bring it to life. You know what I mean? The rules on the page and on the character sheet are just half the battle.
Absolutely. I would say, this will sound contrary to most advice. Most advice to GMs is, hey, don't have a strong vision. Let go of your vision. Let the players go where they go. I'm gonna say, for once, have a strong vision. Don't have a strong vision of the plot, but have a strong vision of the visual style and of the storytelling style. I walked in knowing I had no interest in emulating a Marvel movie. No hate on the Marvel movies. I just don't know how to be cinematic. So I had no interest in being Captain America or Loki or any of that. I had every interest in emulating a comic book. So have that vision as a GM, where you kind of are bringing all the players at the table to the same mental image of what you're doing.
Yeah, you want to play in the same playground as them, right? And I didn't have that vision going in here, and your strong vision of describing stuff rubbed off on me immediately, and we were off to the races.
And finally, I'll say, try new stuff. there was a lot to love here. I love only rolling the D20. I love the damage system and the way damage is accumulated. I found some of the arithmetic baffling, but I'm really happy that I finally tried the system that I own so many books of and that I've been so interested to try. So try new stuff.
Yeah, that one book that I know is sitting on your shelf, dust it off. Try to bring it to the table. Games are meant to be played, not just read.
Absolutely. It's a perfect summation. So I think we will leave it there. Thank you for listening.
Find us online at rpgllpodcast.com. Email us at rpgllpodcast@gmail.com. And find us on Blue Sky at rpgll.